it. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
Well, the Orioles have won three consecutive series, and tonight they open a three-game set against Tampa Bay. Buck and Rock, when we continue on the Orioles Radio Network.
Rock Abatko here with Orioles manager Buck Showalter. Tonight's manager's report, your club back home briefly here. 2-3 in Tampa, 2-3 in Toronto. What are some of the things that keyed that stretch?
Getting deeper in the game with our starting pitching. I know everybody's broken record, but we had a better tempo. There's a certain better crispness to the defense, and we made leads matter. It's a grind, especially this time of year when you're trying to get to that break. But the starting pitching was a little better, I thought, and more consistent. Of course, Ubaldo is as good as you'll ever want to see a pitcher pitch yesterday.
I just wanted to ask you, is that as good as you've seen him?
Yeah, that's as good. Even the first couple innings, you didn't want to jinx him or anything. I didn't even want to say anything to Roger or JR on the bench, but I was like, this is the best I've ever seen him throw. Caleb Joseph was telling me after the game, he said, that was fun. He said, that was like anything I want to put down, anything, and it showed. He said, when we were putting the rotation together after the off day, he's had good success against Toronto with the exception of one hitter. So it worked good and really in a time of need because we didn't have a full bullpen.
Chris Tillman still scheduled to start tonight. I know it's iffy with his wife due with her first baby. Do you kind of check on him, just make sure his focus, I know he's got so much going on that he can still focus on this game tonight?
Yeah, I mean, how do you ask it? Do you not want to pitch? He's fine. He's obviously a great event. They're waiting for it to happen in their life. I was talking to him today. He said the biggest thing is how much discomfort she's in. And, just having gone through it with my daughter, you realize that those last couple of weeks are tough. But, I think Chris will be as good as he's capable of being. I hope he can build on a little better outings he's had.
Rock Abatko back with Orioles manager Buck Showalter on tonight's manager's report. Did we ever establish whether it's Jake Faria or Faria from the race tonight that you're seeing again?
I'm going to go with Jake.
Okay, but, Jacob. Yeah. All right, well, what do you remember, what do you recall seeing from him this last start?
I thought our guys did a good job off of him, but, he's very typical of a lot of things that the Ray pitchers do. They command the fastball, work up a lot. They all throw a change up, and there's no fastball count on it. He's a guy that if you think about Odorizzi, then you should think about this guy.
Wellington Castillo in the lineup tonight. Do you feel like you kind of dodged one there? Because he said it scared him. He thought it felt like when you sprain your ankle.
Yeah, he was when he told us about the second inning that he's available to catch if we needed him. I felt like we were going to be okay. And then after going through all the things today, he feels like he's ready to go. And I think you're right. Those steps, I could get into just the quality control of some of these locker rooms and ballparks. It's a pet peeve of mine that there's not some minimum standards and stuff, and hey, we probably have something here that we need to be on top of for the visiting club too. But it's just he was lucky that on those slick steps that they've been there forever. Heck, I've fallen on them before, but I've got an excuse.
Stefan Crichton on the DL. What happened with him?
Steph had some issues with the shoulder down in Norfolk, but was managing it well and didn't have a problem with it at all. And he came up here and he threw, and he went with his touch and feel, which all the relievers do during batting practice, and started really aching on him. And he finally told Alan Mills about the fourth or fifth inning, which Alan called and let me know. And then after the game, he came in, and the trainer, he had some concerns. First time he's ever had any issues at all with his elbow, shoulder, anything. So usually with a pitcher, the first time that happens, it really gets their attention. But he had an MRI, and everything structurally is good, and that really relieved him. We're going to let him go to Houston to have his All-Star break because he's going to spend because right now it's just rest, and then he'll head to Sarasota in about 3 days.
And lastly, Zach Britton on his way to Frederick tonight. Everything's still going as planned?
Yeah, as long as we don't jinx it. He's going to pitch later in the game tonight. And if that goes well, take a couple of days off and pitch in Norfolk. But so far, so good. We like where he is right now.
Thank you, Bucks. Take it back upstairs to Joe Angel.
We're back at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. According to a Reader's Digest, Camden Yards, one of the 10 nicest places in America. Jim Hunter's got details on that when we continue on the Orioles Radio Network.
Well, Oriole Park at Camden Yards is one of 10 finalists in the Reader's Digest First Annual Nicest Place in America contest and you can vote to have Camden Yards win this competition. We'll talk with Bruce Kelly, the editor-in-chief of Reader's Digest, after this on the Orioles Radio Network. The Orioles are back home tonight to begin a very brief three-game homestand, first of three tonight against the Tampa Bay Rays. Now, the Orioles are one of 10 finalists in the Reader's Digest poll of the nicest place in America. Now, not just nicest ballpark, nicest place in America. Oriole Park at Camden Yards is one of the 10 finalists. Now, Bruce Kelly is the editor-in-chief and the chief content officer of Reader's Digest. And Bruce, nice enough to join us. Now, Bruce, how, first off, did you come to the 10 finalists? How did the voting go to get down to this 10 final list?
So we put out a call for entries. It's a very different kind of contest from all those best places to live contests. It's about the people and how they make strangers feel, no matter whether they're opponents or on your side, and also whether they pull together to do inspiring things together. And we asked Americans at large to nominate the places that they would call nicest. And we got nominations from everything from like big cities, like the city of Providence, which is one of the finalists, to small towns that had done amazing things to shower, for instance, the federal hotshot firefighters with love and support. We even got a nomination from a family that nominated their annual party as the nicest place in America. And then we got a nomination for Camden Yards. And it was a very inspiring story of both how wonderful it is to go to a ballpark there, whether you're rooting for the other guys or not, but also about the amazing reception that Baltimore's heroes get when they are introduced during the weekend games as a part of that Birdland community program. So we, as editors, said, hey, this is one of the 10 nicest, and I'm feeling pretty good about it the more we've reported about the ballpark and just what an atmosphere it is.
Well, I think most major league organizations are community-minded, and the Orioles certainly are. And the Birdland Community Hero really has taken off because it recognizes people that do things not for themselves but for others. And I guess as you just described that, that really is something that's nice. And even though this is a ballpark and people come to watch baseball, it definitely falls into that category as one of the nicest places to visit because it is fan-friendly and, as a result, community-friendly.
Yeah, I mean, we've actually gone out and reported beyond just the nomination. And it's, we've heard story after story from, including heroes who stood in front of that crowd and received that acclaim and felt for the first time like real heroes. Very intense stuff where, you know, a big city like Baltimore, like I'm not from there, I don't know it well, but I can imagine that when you've done something exciting to help others, and then to stand before that crowd just like you're a ball player and hear that acclaim is a big deal. So, I mean, I could tell stories, but because we've reported stories, but I just think the idea of it makes Baltimore proud. It's a great program.
Now, there's some tough competition in the final 10. And one that jumped out was the high school. Now, what stood out about that particular high school that they made the final 10?
Well, it's a big high school in Texas, Pflugerville High School, and very diverse. And I don't know if you, what you remember about your high school, but, you know, it can be a pretty tough place, especially in a big school with a lot of factions and a lot of, you know, bullying, trolling, that kind of stuff. And this is a school that where the students have risen up and said, no more of that. They have immigrant kids who come in, are welcomed immediately. They have, you know, a large African-American community, Latino, and all of them are working together and proud of it to make it a place that's different from other high schools.
Now, for Oriole fans listening in who would like to see Oriole Park at Camden Yards on the cover of the November edition of Reader's Digest, how can they vote? How often can they vote? And when does the voting end?
So, yeah, this is why I'm on the phone. It's because this is my Get Out the Vote campaign. It's rd.com/nicestvote. And you can go every day. And the voting goes for the next 10 days. We've gotten 25,000 votes in the first 6 days. And so it's a, you know, it's going to get up, I hope, in the 100,000. And so it's going to be a stiff competition. But the Orioles fans, like, if you're out there listening and you really believe in Camden Yards as a community, as a place that represents the best of Baltimore, and as a place that kind of bucks the national mood right now in terms of just people being tough on each other, you got to get there and vote. rd.com/nicestvote.
Well, this would certainly be an honor if Oriole Park did in fact win this contest, and Oriole Park is one of 10 finalists, because keep in mind, this isn't the best ballpark in America or the nicest ballpark in America. Oriole Park is one of the finalists for the nicest place to visit in America, and the Birdline Community Hero Program that is run each weekend here at Camden Yards for home games, a large part of why Camden Yards was recognized because of community involvement and interest. Get online and vote. It's rd.com/nicest. rd.com/nicest. Stay tuned for Orioles baseball.
All right, hello again, baseball fans. Joe Angel, Jim Hunter back at Camden Yards in the loss column tonight. Tough night, disappointing loss. And the Orioles here tonight, twice in the ninth inning, they were within one strike of ending the game and coming up with a one-run victory. But it just didn't work out. Brad Brock eventually got the blown save with two outs and the bases empty. The Rays tied the game on a walk, a balk, a wild pitch, and a two-out single. And then they won the game on a three-run home run against Darren O'Day in the top of the 10th inning. Orioles went the entire game. They got five hits, and four of them went for extra bases, and yet they lost the game, and they went the entire game without ever drawing a base on balls. In fact, by the end of the game, the Orioles had left only one base runner on base, and that was Joey Rickard after his RBI double back in the third inning. So Tampa Bay, they draw first blood. They win the first game here by a score of 6-4. Now, the Rays had the early lead in this game against Tillman in the top of the second inning. One out, a base hit by Steven Souza Jr., and then Wilson Ramos, the catcher, came up to hit. And Tillman, again, look at first, delivers. Will fly ball, left center, pretty deep. Adam Jones, way back there, way back at the wall. He's going to jump up. Forget about it. That ball is gone. Ramos, a two-run home run to dead center. His first home run since his return, and it's a 2-0 Tampa Bay lead. Meanwhile, Jacob Faria, the Tampa Bay young right-hander, got to a good start. He retired his first six batters. Then with that lead in the third inning, Castillo was on base on an Echevarria error, and then Joey Rickard came in and picked him up.
When the pitch is swung on and hit towards the gap in left center field, that ball's trouble, and that ball is down for a base hit, and it gets all the way to the wall. Slipping is Malik Smith. Castillo's being sent. He's around third. No relay throw to the plate. It'll be an RBI double for Joey Rickard, and it's a 2-1 game. Rickard found the gap. Dickerson couldn't cut it off, and then Malik Smith slipped on the warning track, and that enabled Bobby Dickerson to send Castillo.
All right, so that's Rickard getting it done offensively to make it a one-run game. And then defensively, in the fifth inning, with one out and the bases empty, Echevarria against Tillman got a base hit. So Tampa Bay had a base runner with only one out. And then Malik Smith came up to hit, and that's when Rickard again was able to impact the game. Count 3-2, and Tillman again ready. There goes the runner, and this one lifted up that left side. Heading for the corner is Rickard. Into the corner, foul ground, reaches back. He makes a sensational catch and then bangs up against the wall and then gets up and then gets it back into second base. And Rickard is shaken up a bit. On a dead run in foul ground in the corner, he reached in, caught the ball, and then banged up against the railing and somehow held onto that thing. and then quickly got rid of it to hold Echevarria back at first. Great catch, a punishing catch, but he made the play. And then just moments later, the 2-0 pitch. Lifted to left, Rickard coming on, dives, and he made the catch. Joey Rickard, another huge out. Came racing in toward the infield. Well, that was the Rickard inning there. And Tillman says, thank you. As Rickard with the glove, he gets Tillman a couple of huge outs. Yeah, Joey Rickard, what a ball game he had to that point. And then came the sixth inning. Tillman gave up a leadoff single, and then he walked Morrison, and then he walked Steven Souza Jr. So with the bases loaded, Tillman would exit in favor of Miguel Castro out of the bullpen, comes into an almost impossible situation with the bases loaded and nobody out. Wilson Ramos, the hitter, and Castro made a pitch.
And the 3-1 has swung on and bounced towards Manny. He's going to come to the plate to force the run out there, back to first, out at first base. There's a double play. Good decision by Machado. He goes 2-3, cuts off the run, and then Castillo fires to first to get the slow-footed catcher to complete the double play.
So there you go. Miguel Castro, big double play ball. Runners on second and third, two outs, and then Beckham came up to hit.
And the 0-2 swing and a miss. He got him with a slider. What a job by the rookie Miguel Castro. Bases loaded, nobody out. He comes in, and oh, did he put out a fire. A 5-2-3 double play. And a swinging strikeout.
So there you go. 2-1 Tampa Bay. Great bullpen work. And then in the bottom of the sixth inning, guess who came up to lead off?
Here's the 2-1. Swinging a high fly ball. Deep left field. Dickerson back on it. And it's gone! Into the first row. Joey Rickard hits it out. He has both Oriole RBIs. And this game is tied at 2.
After that, the Oriole bullpen was outstanding for a while. I mean, Castro was outstanding. Blyer came on seventh inning, got a couple of big strikeouts. Michael Givens came out with a 1-2-3 eighth inning. And by then, the Orioles had done some good offensively. In the bottom of the seventh inning, Adam Jones came up as the leadoff hitter.
And the 0-2 pitch is hit to right field in the corner. That ball is trouble. That ball is falling, and it is a fair ball. And it's in the corner, and Adam Jones thinking 3. As Souza having trouble getting rid of the ball, and Adam Jones is on with a leadoff triple. Souza disappeared from our view down there by the garage door, and he must have misplayed it. Adam was cruising towards second base, and then he put on the burners.
That's what happened. Adam Jones, a double, and went to third on a Souza error. So he's at third base, nobody out for Mark Trumbo.
Correa deals, breaking ball, line drive, base hit to left field. Orioles get the lead. Trumbo rounding first, heading to second base, puts on the brakes. Adam Jones scores, and the Orioles have a 3-2 lead. Mark Trumbo with a big base hit on an 0-2 pitch.
So at that point, for the Orioles, things were looking pretty good. They had a one-run lead, and the bullpen was getting it done. Michael Givens came on eighth inning with a 1-2-3, had a big strikeout to end the inning. And then eventually, in the ninth inning with a one-run lead, Brad Brock came out of the bullpen. He got Ramos on strikes. He got Beckham on a deep fly ball out. So there were two outs and the bases empty. Peterson off the bench as a pinch hitter would get a base on balls. And then Brock, he committed a balk to get Peterson to second base. Borges came in as a pinch runner, and he went to third on a wild pitch. So he was on third base in a one-run game with two outs. And Echevarria ended his big night. And now the set again, the 1-2 pitch. Line drive, base hit left field, and the game is tied up. Rickard gets the ball back into second base. Echevarria, his fourth hit to tie the game in the ninth inning. After forcing Brock into a balk, and then a wild pitch, and then the game-tying hit. So I have to say, Echevarria is off to a real good start as a member of the Tampa Bay Ball Club. All went down to the 10th inning. Darren O'Day came out of the bullpen. He walked the leadoff hitter, Dickerson, to get the inning started. Not a good idea. With one away, first base open, Morrison received the intentional pass. So Tampa Bay had runners on first and second with only one out. Souza came up to hit. The Orioles were looking for a double play ball, but that's not what they got.
And the payoff pitch is swung on and lifted to center field. That chases Adam Jones. That ball's hit well. Back it goes, and that ball is gone. Steven Souza hits a three-run home run in the 10th, and Tampa Bay takes a 6-3 lead. Wow, a blown save by Brad Brock, and now a day comes on and allows a three-run home run.
So the Orioles, who in the ninth inning twice had been within one strike of winning a ball game, well, now they were down three in the top of the 10th inning. Now Trumbo, the leadoff hitter in the bottom of the 10th inning, well, he kind of fought his way back here.
And the pitch, swinging a high fly ball. Deep right center field. That ball is a chance. Back it goes, and that ball is gone for Trumbo. So it's a two-run game, and on the first pitch, Trumbo hits it out. He has a two RBI night, and it's a two-run game.
Yeah, but then Colome, after that, settled in. He got him 1-2-3 after that with a couple of strikeouts. The game would end on a strikeout. Colome would pick up his 21st save. So the Orioles, instead of being one game over 500, they're back to one game under 500. Same two teams again tomorrow, game two at 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. In a moment, Jim Hunter, continue our post-game information show as we continue on the Orioles Radio Network.
Jim Hunter at Camden Yards on the Browns on the City post-game show. Very disappointing loss for the Orioles. Tampa Bay gets the opener of this three-game series, 6-4. O's had a 3-2 lead in the ninth, one strike away from the win. But Tampa Bay rallied on a walk, a balk, a wild pitch, and a single off Brad Brock to tie it. And then the three-run home run by Steven Souza in the 10th to break that tie, and they go on to win it 6-4. Time to hear from the skipper. Let's head downstairs now. Post-game comments from Buck Showalter.
What's up?
How tough is this one, just being a strike away like that and having it turn the way it did?
Yeah, well, you felt like you had a shot at kind of, I don't know, stealing one. You know, we only had, what, four hits through nine innings, five through ten. I think that was more of the story than anything. So you had a shot there trying to get one, but they did a good job. You know, they drew the base on balls and laid off a tough pitch and, you know, got the big base hit. He had a big night. Good acquisition, looks like.
Okay, well, I have it after it, but how much does the balk change kind of the dynamic of the inning, or does it?
It certainly doesn't help any. You know, it's another one of those rules you've heard me talk about a lot. It forces umpires to call things that no one's gaining advantage on, but it's been that way forever. I've been trying to get them to wish they'd change it. And I don't know, you know, we had a wild pitch pass ball after that and a base hit, so there's a lot of other things you could happen to give yourself some breathing room there. Their pitcher pitched real well, really commanded inner half the plate and made it tough on us. We just didn't score enough runs to give us some margin for error.
That's a really solid night for Joey there with those two catches.
Yeah, Joey had a good all-around night, as you want to see somebody have it. He's one of the few guys that had some good swings off their guy. But, no, he was solid. You know, you can look at Chris's outing. You know, I'll look at it favorably because, you know, but the job that Castro did tonight, we're not even in that game. That was a key to us being into it. What a great job he did.
Was that the closest you've seen Tillman to being what he's been?
No, I thought he's had a couple times. But he could tell. I like the command, that lack of base on balls. There were many base on balls tonight for a good portion of the game on both teams. It was a good baseball game, except, you know, we lost. It looked like we were going to be able to get something, manage something out of not a whole lot of offense.
What was going on with Darren?
With who?
With Ote in the 10th.
Well, he's trying to be careful, the first guy, you know. We kind of got forced in some matchups there. Darren's done a good job against left-hand hitters, really, the last couple of years. And just the walk there, and he got to break a ball up that he doesn't normally throw up. Good. Okay, thank you.
Post-game comments from Buck Showalter as the Rays beat the Orioles 6-4 in 10 innings.